Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to the discussion of the championship round of the 2021 March Mastass Ultimate Teen Idol Tournament, where we will be selecting the Ultimate Teen Idol. This will have the force of law. We will not be taking any questions about that. I am your host, Sarah D. Bunting, and I am here, as always, with the chart-tastic Mark Blankenship. Hello, Mark.
Oh, my goodness. You top my chart, Sarah. Every week.
Thank you.
You've been number one longer than Old Town Road.
Yeah. Yikes. Well, the old part is certainly true in my case. So at last we have arrived. It's been a strange and twisty journey. We've got a lot to discuss. We've got a lot of predictions to make. We've got maybe some tears to shed for the fallen and perhaps in advance for who we predict will be the loser of this championship. Mark, can you introduce to us our final contenders and give us a little background on how we arrived here from the final four?
I absolutely can. And for those of you who are listening who haven't yet begun to vote in the tournament, this is truly your last chance. This is the day that the championship poll is going to go live. You can vote at patreon.com/mastas. That's patreon.com/MASTAS. You can vote with a free Patreon account. You do not have to be a patron of the show, but of course we would love it if you did become one. And later today, we will be hearing, as we have been throughout this tournament, from some of our very own patrons who will be joining us on the mic in this live episode. And today we're going to be discussing a climactic battle between the Monkees and Britney Spears, because the Monkees handily trounced Backstreet Boys, and in less of a trouncing but still a very clear victory, Britney Spears defeated New Kids on the Block. So again, Oof. That is a Britney versus Monkees matchup. Now, Sarah, if I'm not mistaken, you have some thoughts and feelings about what's going on here today.
I mean, of course I do. The defeat, the Monkees' triumph is really not a surprise. I was surprised that Britney won, and a little sad, but my comments, as ably read by you last week, about the New Kids stand. Like, I have a lot of nostalgia. They are a boy band. They evoke a time. They evoke a teenage feeling. But many of the songs are, you know, unpleasant. So if I were voting on that, if I were voting on that criterion, which perhaps I should have been all along and have not been, I mean, it really is no contest. Like, whatever you want to say about Britney being sweetened or her voice being manipulated, someone should have done that with Danny and sometimes Sonny. And, you know, they're not good, but they're also, I don't know, like there's something about Britney as an icon of like teen idols not controlling their own fate. I think maybe that's a key part of a teen idol's idol identity, is that ironically, even though they're admired and loved by so many, the reality is that they're controlled by just as many and manipulated by just as many. Not that that wasn't true of New Kids, but I think that's much more front of mind with Britney and a lot of female artists.
And I just, one of the things that I found really striking upon re-listening to the New Kids songs is that I think that I need to stop re-listening to them so that they can be good in my memory. Because Hangin' Tough didn't really hold up. Cover Girl didn't hold up. I actually have not re-listened to You Got the Right Stuff because that's the one I loved the most. And I'm just hopeful that it will be okay. I'm a little bit afraid to give it a re-listen. But
I mean, I enjoy that one. And like Step by Step, I like, but I also
Step by Step is good.
But the badness, like I, as I said, I do admire that they kind of roll in the badness, particularly of Danny. And again, he can really dance. When I saw them live, I was quite impressed. I was like, oh, that's why you're still drawing a paycheck around here. Got it. But like, we can have lots of fun. Buddy, is that what you're doing? That doesn't sound fun. That sounds like a hostage video. it's fine. But it doesn't hold up. Whereas like, I have had a Britney song stuck in my head for 36 hours. So that doesn't tend to happen with New Kids.
Yeah. And I think that when it really comes down to it, Britney is a vessel for bops. And we had a lot of people talking.
A vessel for bops.
We had a lot of people talking on Patreon over the week during the Final Four round about their younger siblings losing their minds over Britney Spears, which they were saying seems to be a good indicator of teen idol excellence. And I think that's right. There's something about either a parent or manager is manipulating you, and children adore you and squeal for you. And now I almost feel like a prerequisite for teen idoldom is that 25 years later or so, adults get into you. So I'm wondering out there in patron land, is there anyone who is excited that Britney Spears has made it this far? Is there anyone who's feeling pro Britney at this time? The shrugs heard around the world. In fact, some people are saying violently no. There is a question going around about whether or not Britney had a lunchbox, and we have reports that she had both a metal and a vinyl lunchbox.
Brit's comment is nice box.
Okay.
Thank you. It's my birthday week.
So, Suli, I see that you might like to make a comment on behalf of Ms. Spears. What is your POV?
I mean, someone has to. And being the resident youngster of our group, I feel like at least I was a teen when she was a teen idol. I was so like, that counts for something. I was actually a tween. I mean, and I'm also on the record as stating, remembering while this was happening that my choir teacher said she only has about 5 good notes.
But
three more than I got,
you know,
so
the more I think about it, like, I mean, if we're going on like pure teen idoldom, I like what it like as the teen idolness, like I still think the Monkees take it in, like, you know, like did they, like if somebody said did Britney have a lunchbox, which apparently she did but we don't know about it, like did Britney become an entire episode on The Simpsons about Marge's childhood? Like, no, but the Monkees were. I think for that, but in terms of like the actual listenability of the songs and just like, fuck, do we need to give white men another win? Like, if for literally no other reason, like, it's like, can I give these dead white people something, or can I give a very alive woman who has been treated like shit something? Like, I mean,
Dolan's died.
Well, some of them died.
Are the Monkees not dead?
Two of them are dead, and two of them are alive.
I just kind of assumed because they're like, were popular before I was alive. So I'm like, oh, they're probably dead.
There was a joke here about my being popular before you were alive, but I'm just gonna.
But yeah, I mean, if nothing else, I like her songs more. And honestly, I think she deserves it more just because, like, yeah, but I mean, those might not be the right arguments to make in this particular forum, but those are the ones I'm left with making.
Well, listen, you have to vote with your heart and soul. And I also want to point out that some folks, like Karen, is noting that in life, she is pro-Britney, but in this tournament, perhaps not. And I believe that Camille, you may have made a similar point, if I'm remembering, or maybe I've misquoted you or misattributed you. But there are a couple of people out there who are saying that they are pro-Britney in life, but not pro-Britney in this tournament. And it definitely was Karen who said that. At least I'm not crazy. Before we go any further, let's take a listen. Sarah and I have both pulled a clip from Ms. Spears. So first, let's take a listen to a little bit of Toxic, which Sarah, you brought to the room.
I did.
Here we go. There's no escape. I can't fade. I need a hit. Oh, that was the perfect clip because you got that little burn-na-na-na-na sound in there.
Here's the thing about this song, and here's why I picked this and pulled this clip. This song, the first time I heard it, I was like, how is this released in this condition? How is this a hit? This is like a bee attack. But then that's what your mind seizes on. Like, that's how it gets you. And then you're like, well, actually, you know, bees are pretty good for the world. And then you hear it everywhere. And then, you know, all the like the fakey strings, I agree, are like they're actively annoying. And yet they work. And her vocal is like, usually they fix it completely so that it's totally poreless. That's not the case here. And yet, like, something about this song as a whole, the way that it's built is like actually kind of frighteningly compelling and effective in spite of its flaws. They're everything that I both hate about the song and think is evil genius is in that clip.
Evil genius.
I don't think it's particularly like teen idol-y, but like, and that video is, I mean, it is a great song while it being composed of like bees and nuggets of poo. Like, I don't know how that works, but like, I'm not supposed to know how it works. It just does. And that's how they get you. And I have to admire that.
And I do want to know that we probably talked about this in our Toxic episode from like 800 years ago, but this song was co-written by one Kathy Dennis, who is responsible for some of my favorite pop hits of the early 90s. So that's just like bonus excellence that we can give to the crazy quilt of sounds that is Toxic. Now, I want to play a clip from another Britney song that I just love. This song peaked at number 11 in the United States, and that was a mistake. It should have been a top 10 hit, if, quite frankly, a number one hit. I would have accepted as well. This is a little clip of Stronger. So, Kat, you mentioned that you have some strong feelings for this song. Am I correct?
I love it. I've also done a, like, jazz version with my singing group of this, of Stronger. It's very close to my heart.
Yes, yes. And Mariah says correctly, this sounds like a cut song from Chess. And that's not, I would say that's a compliment.
That's not a bad thing in my mind.
Yeah, it sounds like an amalgamation of 15 other songs. Or actually, you know what it really sounds like to me is the American Idol winning song.
Yes,
Have to Sing, which is like, it has to be inoffensive and composed of proven working parts. Like, it's fine. I can see being on a treadmill and being like, yep, that's the one.
Yeah. Now, Adam, you would also, I think, like to make a statement regarding the toxicity of the song we just listened to. No, how the stronger feelings that you have.
Oh, it's not about the song specifically. So if you want, it just occurred to me that this matchup like encapsulates something that I've been feeling throughout this whole thing that I hadn't really articulated inside myself, much like my teen years, that I have a stronger affinity for the teen idols that came before my actual teen years and after my actual teen years.
Mm.
So like, and I don't know why that is. I mean, I like Debbie Gibson. I like New Kids on the Block. They're fine. Martika, I see you. But it, like the Monkees and Britney and NSYNC are the ones that I actually care about in this whole tournament. And the Monkees were before my teen years and Britney, et cetera, were after my teen years. So I'm thrilled by this matchup. I don't know how I'm going to vote.
But I think the Monkees, like, I think the Monkees have definitely benefited from being for two different sets of teenagers.
Mm.
because they were on MTV every day for a couple hours when I was in eighth grade.
Yeah. I mean, I watched their show when I was a kid, like still pre-teen still. But yeah, I mean, I definitely like had that Greatest Hits album and still have it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is more about me or about the music, but like, right? Like I've glommed onto Britney as an adult gay man.
And I'm also wondering if like a lot of things that aren't marketed, Tara and I were talking about this on an episode of Again With This, I think recently, that it's like, I think in the same way that 13-year-olds read Seventeen magazine as an aspirational thing, I think that sometimes teen idols, like the sort of 11 to 13 set, is what's coming in. Like the fights over New Kids merchandise were not happening among people who could drive. Right? So, right. Camille, did you have something to add about the age lane or anything else on Britney?
Well, it was more about the Monkees.
Do it.
I was just thinking, like, of all the contenders that we have here, I feel like the Monkees might be the only one that's not, like, strictly aimed at teen and tween girls. That is a fan base that could actually be, like, not only cross-generational, but also, like, cross-gender. Like, nobody's scoffing at the Monkees because it's like, oh, that's not for me.
Yeah.
It's really kind of for everybody. Whereas like a lot, you know, from Britney Spears, New Kids on the Block, even, you know, going back like Debbie Gibson and so a lot of people who were out earlier, like those are for girls. They're for little girls, and the Monkees are for everybody.
Yeah.
That is a really strong point. And that I think also speaks to their musical, the variety of music that they made in terms of sounds and styles, where, you know, Britney's music has kind of been the same. Some of the songs are slower than others, but they're all essentially the same. Whereas the Monkees songs, even that we've clipped for tonight, Sarah, are not really musically identical.
Yeah. It's hard. There's like a whatever the opposite of recency bias is thing happening, because the Monkees have been a part of the fabric of the culture for half a century longer. So it's sort of like hard to tell, like whoever they started out being for, now they really do belong to everybody. But I still think that's a good point. I still think that that was not like if you were like a whatever 14-year-old boy in the late 60s and you were bugging out to Pleasant Valley Sunday, for instance, and thinking that the lyrics really said something deep and incisive about suburban life, talking about a friend, then I don't think there was as much like shaming, like girl thing shaming, as there tends to be with a lot of teen idol stuff. I do want to go back and note that it is really white in here at the championship level. And like the whole tournament has definitely been pretty, pretty pale. So that's something else to think about in terms of what the culture thinks makes a successful teen idol. Like, does that factor into it in terms of how they're being packaged by record companies, by teen magazines, so on and so forth? I would say today that's not as true. And also teen idols come from social media, and like the kids will tell you who's the star.
Yeah.
And it's not so much like some whatever 40-year-old named Irv in Burbank is going to decide that this is what you like and this is what you don't like. But I mean, I think that a lot of teen idoldom is a pretty, pretty white place.
Yeah, that's true. But So all of that now seems like a time to, why not, transition to one of our clips. So this is a song that I only discovered last week because I was listening to the Greatest Hits of the Monkees. And I saw someone earlier mentioning in the chat that they were doing the same. Adrian, was that you that was? Yeah, so Adrian and I have been on a similar journey with the Greatest Hits of the Monkees, realizing, wow, there's a lot of damn good songs here, many of which I didn't know, including this song, which was a hit in England, called Randy Scouse Git. Why don't you cut your hair? Why don't you live up there? Why don't you do what I do? See what I
It's not easy trying to tell her that I shortly have to leave. Why don't you be like me? Why don't you stop and see?
I mean, that song is cool to me. Sarah, I know you maybe don't like that one as much.
I don't like that one as much because that's a Mickey vocal, and like nothing against Mickey vocals, but like Mickey in the sort of universe of the TV show, I found really exhausting. There was just like a desperate manic energy, and like this song tended to be played over sped up montages of Mickey slipping on banana peels and stuff like that, that just seemed really thirsty, and I didn't care for it. But yeah, this isn't one of my favorites, but it's also like, you know, it's not a bad song. It's just not one of my favorites.
Yeah, to me, it's just a great, I actually do like the song quite a bit. And to me, it's just an example of how deep their catalog goes. And I'm just impressed that when they started making more of their own music and they didn't have a studio band playing for them or studio musicians or studio songwriters writing for them, they were still turning out stuff that's like this interesting. I also want to note that Dawn was also a little bit annoyed by him on the TV show, but she says that she didn't notice how much she liked Mickey's voice until we started playing these clips in the last few weeks. Mm. So there you go. Now, Sarah, before we go any further, I think we have a special note that we want to put out into the world, if I'm not mistaken.
We certainly do, and it's a word from our sponsor, eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to snag the pair of sneakers you've been looking for. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers will be meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators who verify the box, logo, stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. And eBay is good for sneaker sellers, too. eBay offers a verified return process and no selling fees on sneakers $100 and up, so it's free to sell or flip your collection. Head to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and selection. Thanks, eBay.
Sarah, do you want to set up the clip that you've pulled from the monkeys today?
Sure. I have some exegetical thoughts. You're welcome. Everybody drink. After the clip, but the reason that I pulled Look Out, Here Comes Tomorrow is because I think the monkeys' ability to be kind of sexy is sometimes overlooked just generally and specifically in the context of this contest. So can we hear the clip, please?
Yes, we can. Oh, that whispering.
Yeah, like, look, Davey is way too short for me, and here's what's happening in the song. He's been fucking them both. He fucked around, and now he's finding out because they found out. and now he has to choose that. He's like, no, I said I love them both, and it was true when I said it. I mean, that's basically what's happening, but this was always played over some montage of Davey being like pulled in two different directions by a bunch of women. And it's supposed to be like funny and wacky and everyone's wearing white mod boots and it'll all work out because one of them's a princess. And then the whole thing resets next week. But there is a sexiness to this song and it is pretty unapologetic, and then the way that they could sort of subvert that for the purposes of the TV show, and this whole narrative is that he, you know, nothing is resolved, but it's also a 2:16 song. Like, I do enjoy that about monkey songs, that they're like problem, possible solution, Mike goes nuts on the guitar, and we're out. Like, it's very efficient pop music. I like that. But I mean, the Davey whispering every time with that song, it's like, whew.
Yeah, it's like he's, I, it's I like he, it. it's like he transforms from a boy to a man in the course of a 2-minute song. And whew, my heart. And I didn't know this song until you clipped it and I listened to it. And oh, Lord, it's a keeper. Now, Lee, you've made, I think, an interesting statement. You've thrown a gauntlet about the relative hotness of the Monkees. Do you care to let us know who your choice would be?
Sure, 100% Peter Tork. Not even a contest. Not even a contest. Davey's cute, but he would fit in my pocket. Mickey, like Sarah said, has that sort of zany energy that's kind of exhausting. Mm. And Mike is kind of a dick and was married anyway, so he's done. Peter Tork, hottie of the band.
Damn, yes.
Yeah, I don't like I struggled with his hair. I have to confess, I struggled with his hair.
Well, I will say that Emily co-signs with Lee, so they might be fighting over him, and then they'll have to make a music video about that. But you're Sarah on record as being a Mike Nesmith stan,
right?
Oh yeah, right?
Wool hat all day. Like, I don't, you know, whatever like negative things I read about him doing on some like Tiger Beat shoot in 1968, it's like, whatever, who cares? Like, he was the sort of like cerebral wry one. He had that Texas accent that came out every now and then that I'm a Mike guy, definitely. But Davey, I consider it. I mean, I married a guy shorter than me. Not that much shorter, but shorter. So it has things to recommend it. And I'll leave it at that because this is a show for children.
For kids.
You know,
Uncle Popper's Playhouse. Diana just wants to note that she just realized that her crush on John Oliver is probably because he reminds her so much of Davy Jones, particularly his expressions. And I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Was Davy Jones the Joey McIntyre of the Monkees? Jenny asks. The only reason I will say no is that Joey McIntyre is, to me, one of the snackiest boy band members of all time. And Davy Jones, though cute, does not reach that level of, if Joey McIntyre walked into this room right now, I have a stack of clean laundry just piled up on the bed. I would just knock it all on the floor and get it all dirty again and say, Joey, Mr. McIntyre, what you will.
Mr. McIntyre now. Yeah, he is very sexy, but I think it's also no, because Joey, I think some boy bands had specifically for this purpose, a several years younger member, first of all, to hit the swoony falsetto notes, and second of all, to appeal to the little girls in a way that was like really unthreatening.
The Michael Jackson, Donny Osmond slot, if you will.
Yes, yes.
So I wonder, Ron, if the stats tell us anything about what we might anticipate for...
I was also going to ask.
Yes, for the championship round.
Yes, they do. Stats have all the answers. So in this matchup, so the Monkees have an average margin of victory of 118.5, and Brittany is at 102.5. So... a 16 vote difference in margin of victory.
So and now just out of your soul, ignoring the stats altogether, I think I can guess whom you would vote for because I can see the band on your t-shirt and your Zoom background.
Obviously, Brittany. Okay.
But for those who are just listening and not watching, whom would you vote for, Ron?
I will vote for the Monkees. But I am worried about this matchup. This is the only one I've been worried about.
And worried in what way?
Just seeing how well Brittany's done
throughout
the tournament.
Well, and, you know, I feel like it's also so interesting because, Sarah, you and I were talking before we started this recording about the fact that really, if it had been the Monkees and the New Kids, it would have kind of been variations of a very similar flavor. But at the end of the day, Brittany and the Monkees are not very similar. They are similar only in the way that you talk about, like, ideas. They're ideologically similar in the fact that they were both popular with teenagers, but when you get down to the music, chalk and cheese, as the Brits say.
Well, and it's different eras, and you know, aside from everyone involved having a nose, not really the same at all. I'm sort of glad that it has come down to this, and that it wasn't just sort of like the various number one and two seeds, like marching like scythes, proceeding like scythes through their competition. I think that makes it way more interesting what it says about Bad Seed McGee over here. I don't know, but this is what, a 6 and an 8 seed? So,
Well, I'll tell you, I never would have predicted that the Monkees would be poised to win the whole thing. Ever.
I don't think I would have either. And in retrospect, well, actually, maybe I did early on. I think I definitely called them for the final four. But yeah, that they won the whole thing or could win the whole thing, I think in retrospect seems a little more obvious than it was to us initially. Yeah. I would say, and I think you and I both, like, in the round of 64, were like, yeah, New Kids probably sweep this up.
That, and they got close.
It is a little surprising to me, but, like, I think that Britney always ends up in these chalk and cheese matchups, honestly. I mean, if you look at all the matchups, it's like Britney is this...
Yeah.
She's just sui generis, maybe? I don't know if that's the right...
But, you know, that's a really good point, because Britney Spears, I know that we've had some back and forth about this, but I fundamentally do feel that Britney Spears qualifies as a teen idol. And I accept that there are people who do not agree with me, but I feel that she does. But she does inhabit this teen idol space in a very different way. And you're right that, like, that speaks to her place in the culture, that she's not quite like anybody else, which is so interesting to think about, because she's such an almost homogenized product of an artist that in a way you would think that she's not like anything else because she's not anything, but that's not quite true. It's just, there's some interesting depth to be plumbed.
Well, you know, whoever has been positing that she doesn't exactly belong in here because she's too big, I think is probably correct. I mean, that was penultimate train to Clarksville. The artists that we threw out before because they were too big, the Beatles, Elvis, Frank Sinatra, the Beach Boys. I think there was one more that I can't remember.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that we didn't even put them on the undercard. And in retrospect, we probably should have done that with Britney, but then Christina probably would have had to go by that logic, like... logic.
By those, I mean, I do want to take a moment to reflect that one of my favorite moments of this whole tournament was when I was on a walk and you called me anxiously about Bobby Sherman.
Well,
and I was hard and I was wrong. I at first resisted his presence in the tournament and I was wrong.
You had also just spent hours building polls and I was like, here's an issue. And you're like, I'm going for a walk to Connecticut, lose my number, but we worked it out.
Oh, and my then, gosh, and it was, and he got really far, so you know what, Bobby Sherman deserves to be there.
I regret any upset that I caused you, but I do not regret remembering him. But I don't know if you feel like maybe Britney Spears, like, part of what made all of those other groups superstars is that they had that something that made them, that set them apart from all the other artists, that made them huge and compelling, and ergo, they were way too big for this. And what you've just said about Britney made me think of that maybe.
Yeah.
If we had it to do again, she would just be promoted directly to Valhalla and then
it's interesting.
Fight it out.
It's like it took this tournament perhaps to show us this. And I do want to note that many people are stressing. Britt says, Jesus, I'm so wired about this. I feel like I'm the one on drugs. And then Ron notes that he's going to be anxiously refreshing the voting page for every 2 minutes for the entirety of the week, which I feel you. And I feel like here we are. We can't go back. And I think at the end of the day, it's a fascinating competition to see the Monkees and Britney Spears facing off, because what an interesting look at the way teenage-oriented pop music has changed and hasn't changed. That there's always this sense of fascination with and adulation for the performer, but that so many other things about the music have changed. Like, and but also Britney started on a TV show. She was on the Mickey Mouse Club and Star Search. But like, it's not the same. And I really feel like there might be an entire book to be written called Britney and the Monkees, and it might be a comic book. I don't know. Well, I do want to say to everyone who has been participating, both the patrons who are joining us, have been joining us in these episodes, and to the listeners out there who have been voting and listening, what a joy it has been. This tournament has been so much fun. And Sarah, I want to say, of course, I'm so glad that we did this again. It's been such a good time.
I also can't wait to see what happens, because I've so often been wrong and it's been so informative.
Yes.
Occasionally enraging, but informative.
And so next week, listeners, the next episode of the show will be a regular episode again, in that it's just going to be me and Sarah, but we will be choosing to discuss a song by our tournament victor. So if you are wondering who won, it's whoever shows up in your feed next week. But until then, all I can think to say is 23 Skidoo, but I'll say it like the Monkees, like Davy Jones, 23 Skidoo. I love you, Donna. Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is hosted by Mark Blankenship, that's me, and Sarah D. Bunting.
That's me. I also edit the podcast, which is a proud member of the Bleav Network. Learn more at bleav.com.
To learn more about us, submit song requests, get a pop chart reading, or buy a Mastis book, visit our website at markandsarahtalkaboutsongs.com. You'll also find all of our social media links there, too.
That's Mark and Sarah, with an H, talkaboutsongs.com. And for even more content and access the Mastass Happy Hour, become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/mastass.
Thanks for listening.
Talk about songs.
Thank you for listening to Bleav. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Bleav.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.